Thank you for joining us here at Life Church. It's an honor to share God's word with you today. Our prayer is that you will connect with Jesus Christ as you hear his word online. We'd love to have you visit one of our upcoming gatherings. For more information, visit us online at www.liferva.org or contact our church offices and we'll be happy to help you in any way that we can. Let's go now to one of our recent services where you can experience a life-giving message from God's word.
Sunday, I preached to you about the most significant event ever to happen in the history of mankind, and that was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I want to kind of pick up where we left off then and talk to you about what his resurrection means to us today. Go with me to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1. If you like Bible, I got a lot of scripture for us here today. Amen. By the way, when did preaching start not having scripture? Don't get me started on that. Amen. Matthew 28, verse 1 says, after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. How would you, by the way, like to be known as the other Mary? My girl probably had a lot of issues. Amen. The other Mary. In verse 2, there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. You know, I think if I rolled the stone away, that's probably exactly what I would do. Boom. Just plop right there. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. But guess what? He ain't here. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. I love that little part there. It says, afraid yet filled with joy. Any of you ever been just like that, afraid of all the stuff going on around you, all the chaos, but yet inside, come on, I've got joy unspeakable and full of glory. Because I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I know that God knows exactly how it's all going to turn out. Amen. I want to preach to you today about being risen with Christ. Risen with Christ. You know, think about what an impact the announcement from this angel must have had on those women who came. You know, Mary and the other Mary, right? They came, they were heavy with grief over Jesus who had just died by crucifixion. But now this angel comes to them and he declares, he is not here, he is risen. And the Bible says that they hurried away, afraid, yet filled with joy. I think it's interesting to note that there were angels that were there to witness Jesus's birth. And here we are 33 years later. There's another angel there who is bearing witness to his resurrected life. Amen. The first time he came, and then the second time he came. Amen. He spoke to the fears of those ladies when he told them, fear not. He also spoke to their questions when he said, come and see where he used to be. And then he sent them out to spread the good news when he told them, I want you to go quickly and tell the disciples. And sure enough, just as Jesus said he would be, he was resurrected from the dead, he was alive, and he was well. Amen. Now, in those days following his crucifixion and his resurrection, Jesus would meet with the disciples and teach about the kingdom of God and commission them to evangelize the world. For 40 days, he would be seen by many witnesses. You know, think about it. Man, what a time it must have been, those weeks following the resurrection of Jesus. It's no wonder that so many of them spoke so boldly about what they had experienced and what they had seen. Men like Peter and John, who were very bold in their declarations about Jesus and about his resurrection. For example, they were called in before the Sanhedrin council and they were told not to preach anymore about Jesus and his resurrection. And you know how they replied? Acts chapter 4, verse 20. We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. I just got to know, are there any fired up Holy Ghost filled believers in this house? Come on, you just can't stop telling people, oh, about what the Lord has done for you in your life. Amen. I can't stop telling about everything I've seen and heard that's going on in my life and in my church and in my friends' lives. They were not alone in their boldness. The Apostle Paul would also give strong testimony about the resurrection of Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3. Paul said, I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. By the way, don't miss this. Paul wrote 13 of the New Testament books. But you know what Paul said? Let me tell you what's most important. Are you ready? Here it is. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. In case you didn't know, by the way, that's called the gospel. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 5 said, he was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Verse 7, then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. And last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, Paul said, I also saw him. Come on. Even with hundreds had seen him, we knew and they knew that Jesus was alive. Jesus spent time with his disciples after the resurrection. You can read in the Bible how he walked with them until they returned to from Galilee. And then from Galilee, they journeyed on to Jerusalem. And then from Jerusalem, they went on to Bethany, and where they were then commanded to later to go back to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father, which when you read, you find that that was fulfilled in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, when the promise of the Father, which was the baptism of the Holy Spirit, descended upon each of them. And then, just like that, Jesus was gone, taken up from them, received out of sight. Folks, without a doubt, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was the greatest event that has ever taken place in all of humanity. So many things happened because of his resurrection. Satan was defeated. Hallelujah. Jesus arose triumphantly in the fullness of his glory, not only among those who loved him, but in the very presence of all his haters, too. Come on. I love how the Bible says Jesus handled his haters. Colossians chapter 2, 15 says, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities, and he shamed them publicly. How? Not with his words, but by his victory over them on the cross. Hallelujah. You don't believe I'm going to come back? Let me show you what I'm going to do. Jesus entered into the realm of death, and he took authority because he had committed no sins. Amen. There was nothing that he was guilty of. Therefore, Satan had no power or authority over him. Jesus was the only one that could go into the grave, that could only go into hell and come out victorious. But guess what? He did not do it just for himself. He did it for you and I. Jesus entered for our sake, and he won that victory against our enemy. He rose as the champion of our salvation. And without the resurrection, without being risen in Christ, hear me, our hope is in vain. Our preaching is in vain, and we are still lost in our sins. Being free from our sins is one of the main reasons that Jesus did what he did. Hallelujah. 1 John 3 and 8 tells us, but when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil. Now let me just stop right there. There's a sermon right there. I had somebody tell me last week, they said, and they were new to our church, they said, we haven't heard anybody preach on mention the word sin on Easter Sunday in so long. Folks, sin is still very real. And it's something that we as believers need to understand has no place in our lives. Because what did the Bible say? When people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil who has been sinning since the beginning. But why did Jesus come? The Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. The work of Jesus on the cross destroyed the work of the devil. I told you last week that God's justice demanded a penalty to be paid for our sins. But his grace caused him to come and die himself as our Savior. See, what God did for us through Christ is amazing. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, and notice, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. God reconciled the world to himself through Christ. And now our sins are no longer counted against us. That's Bible, amen. The power of being risen with Christ changes you forever. See, the legal side of the redemption story is what God did for us by shedding his blood in Christ. It is the finished work of the cross that satisfied the demands of the law of the sin of sin and death in our lives. Amen. Paul, speaking of Jesus in Romans 4:25, said, he was delivered for our offenses and was raised for our justification. Hallelujah. In other words, he went to the cross for our sins, but he was resurrected, come on, so that we can be justified from our sins. His death was the penalty paid for our offenses. But not only do we have our sins forgiven, we receive the rewards of justification. Not only are we forgiven, but we are made new in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See, God's process of building the very nature of Jesus Christ into the life of every believer, it begins when we are raised in the newness of life. It begins when we begin our walk with Jesus. See, because when you become a believer, you are literally, hear me, you're applying the gospel message to your life. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. Galatians 2:20 says we are crucified with him. Romans 6 and 8 says we die with him. Romans 6 and 4, we are buried with him in baptism. Romans 6 and 4 again, we are raised with him to walk in newness of life. Amen. Ephesians 2 and 6, we are made to sit with him in heavenly places. And one day, come on somebody, we are going to reign with him in glory and in power in eternity. It is because of his death, his burial, and his resurrection that Christ has broken every claim that Jesus had upon us. And he who the Son has set free is what? Free. Come on, we're free indeed. Amen. It is because of the resurrection of Jesus. Satan no longer has his claws in my life. It is because of the resurrection of Jesus. I can walk with the authority of Jesus. I can walk with the authority of the blood of Jesus. I can walk with the power of the Holy Spirit. Somebody give him a praise right now. Woo! Come on, we are risen with Christ. Look at what happened in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. The devil saw the results of Calvary. He witnessed the result of his defeat as he saw men and women recreated, men and women reborn, men and women receiving new life. He saw the power and the energy of the Holy Spirit being flowing into them and infusing them with grace that they never had before. He became fully aware of the fact that he thought he won at the cross, but he lost at the cross. He became fully aware of the fact that we become new creatures in Christ. We are now no longer under his thumb. He realized that because you are risen with Christ, men and women now have the authority in the name of Jesus. Come on, I said you have the authority in the name of Jesus. The devil saw that joy-filled hearts are now replacing where sorrow once was. He saw that defeated lives now became victorious lives. He saw that those who used to be bound were now being set free. He saw that men and women could now stand in the presence of God without the sense of guilt and inferiority or condemnation, because he that the Son has set free is free indeed. See, everything that was accomplished in Christ was for us. It was for us who believe. His suffering was for us. His victory over death in the grave was for us. And you know what I love? Jesus didn't come to the earth as an angel. He didn't come as a superhero. Amen. He was clothed in human skin. He tasted death for every man and woman. And the dominion of the devil has been broken. Come on, you know what? I think we need to quit talking so much about the devil and talk more about God. Come on. Some Christians are so focused on demonic power that they forget about the heavenly power that we have abiding within us. Come on, some of us are so focused on what's wrong in the world that we forget that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Come on, we need to celebrate more Jesus and talk less about the devil. Hallelujah. The only power he has is the power we give him in our lives. Because his dominion has been broken, we have been delivered from the bondage of sin and death if we are risen with Christ. Risen with Christ. Our old nature was dominated by our sins and our desires, but our new nature is now operating by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, not only life, but life more abundantly. That's my promise. The inner man becoming a new creation. That same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible says, is resident in those of us who have his Spirit. Let me read it to you straight from the Word of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 10. Here it is. Look at it. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, come on, your body is still your body. But the Spirit, I always say the Spirit. The Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And I love verse 11. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, everybody say in me. He who raised Christ from the dead. Oh, come on. The hope is not just for this life, but for the life to come. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. In you. See, these verses tell us that not only does the resurrection allow the Spirit to give us life, but it gives us the assurance of the life to come in eternity. See, that promise of going from mortality to immortality. I almost said immorality. Amen. No, that's not what we want you to do. Amen. From corruptible to incorruptible. See, folks, hear me. It's not because of our righteousness. Hallelujah. But it's because of the life-giving Spirit that comes to dwell within us. See, being risen with Christ helps us to learn how to walk in that newness of life. You don't get it right out of the gate. And you don't get it right all the time. But we are made conscious of the need of knowing and obeying the Word of God. Come on, that's conviction. That's spiritual awareness. That's the fruit of the Spirit, amen. That's hungering more for God than you are your own flesh. We have that divine awareness. We are now learning to link our lives with his divine purpose. Not I, but Christ. Paul said it. I think it would make a great mantra of the church for this day and age that we live in. Not I, but Christ. And this truth must be realized in all of us. See, being risen in Christ means sin's power is broken in your life. I want to make sure that the Christians hear that too. Come on, hear me, every Christian in the room. Sin's power is broken in your life. Amen. I want to tell everybody who's not a Christian yet in this room or watching online, guess what? When you are risen with Christ, sin's power is broken in your life. It's broken in your life. I got a long passage I want to read to you. I don't usually read such long sections of Scripture, but it was so good. I wanted you, and just go home and read Romans chapter 6 this week. But I want to read a few verses, starting in verse 1, Romans chapter 6, verse 1, about victory over sin in your life. Are you ready? And by the way, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. Yeah. Amen? Amen. You know, we were, what does so-and-so say? What does apostle such-and-such say? What did Pastor so-and-so say? What did the Matthew Henry commentary say? What does the Greek say? What does the Bible say? Let's just read what the Bible says. Are you ready? Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin. By the way, some of y'all need to read that verse again. Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Come on, believers. Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? Come on, your baptism is not just a public declaration of your faith. The Bible says right here, when you're baptized, you are joining with him in his death. Verse 4, but look what else it says about it. We died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. I'm so glad that Jesus didn't stay in the grave, and guess what? I'm glad he didn't make me stay in the grave either. Woo! We now have the promise of new lives. Verse 5, since we have been united with him in his death, we will what? Also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. Come on, somebody. Verse 7, when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. Verse 9, we are sure of this. Why? Because Christ was raised from the dead, and he will never die again.
That's right.
Death no longer has any power over him. Don't forget, you're risen with Christ. Right. When he died once to break the power of sin, but now that he lives for the glory of God. Come on, now that the power of sin is broken in our lives, you know what we ought to try to do? Live for the glory of God. Verse 11, so you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Now it gets more personal. You ready? Verse 12, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourself completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. Come on, folks. I don't want to beat up on anybody here today, but hear me, believers. We have a spiritual and we have a scriptural responsibility to not give in to sinful desires. That's what the Bible says. To not let any part of our bodies, verse 13, become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, what? Give yourself completely to God. For you were dead, but now you live. So use, I'm still in verse 13, so use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Hallelujah. How are you using that instrument? How are you using that temple that the Bible calls us a temple? We're a spirit. We're a temple of the Holy Spirit. How are you using that temple? Verse 14, sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, thank God, you now live under the freedom of God's grace.
Amen.
And let me tell you what comes with freedom. Free choice. Free will.
Yep.
The ability to make right choices and the ability to make wrong choices. Because you're not going to get it right every time. But being risen with Christ does give us, hear me folks, the power to make right choices.
Right.
That will honor God and help us carry those choices out. Can the church say amen? See, it always gets a little quiet when you start talking about righteous living. Not just being a privilege of a believer, but a responsibility of a believer. Amen? Hear me, you never lose the freedom and responsibility to choose whose servant you will be. Say, well, I'm no longer under the power of sin. That's right. But sometimes we get under the power of sin. We choose it. And since, though, we are no longer the servants of sin, we can develop a sensitivity to the things of the Spirit and learn to move away, pull away, walk away from those things that pull us back and pull us away from being vessels that are living to the glory of God. Is this making sense to anybody in the house?
Yes.
See, come on, I'm trying to help you today, amen. We are not, God's not seeking perfection, but you know what I think? He loves effort.
Yes, he does.
I think he loves honesty.
I
think he really appreciates transparency and vulnerability. Don't ever let people or the devil condemn you to the point that you have a greater sin consciousness than a God consciousness in your life. Now, here's what I'm trying to say. Hear me. This is one of the devil's greatest tricks, to make you focus on all of your deficiencies and weaknesses more than God's greatness in your life. Come on, hear me right now. We've got to understand, I have a responsibility to repent of my sin and to turn away from my sin. But the devil wants to make you think sin has a stronger hold in your life than God does. If you are a born-again believer, you need to denounce that lie of the enemy and say, greater is he that is in me than he that is. I am risen with Christ. Come on, I may not get it right every time, but I'm going to try to get it right every time. I am risen with Christ, therefore sin is not my master. The devil is not my task keeper. Come on, somebody. And what I want to tell us today is we need to start walking in the power of the risen Christ. We need to live in the power that's been given to us. Christ in you, the scripture says, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Jesus was true to his promise when he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The witness of the Holy Spirit in the world today and in our lives is the testimony of the risen Christ. Saints have been martyred for what we believe in. Bibles have been burned. Religious freedoms denied. But hear me, folks, we are the witness of being risen in Christ. And it goes on and on from generation to generation. The gospel of Jesus Christ has outlived its enemies. It's conquered its opponents. It's buried them in the dust. Amen. The church of Jesus Christ is alive and well. I want the praise team and the musicians to come. Let me tell you something right now. We need to quit believing the lie that nobody wants what the church is selling. And we're not even selling anything. We're giving it away, by the way. Amen. We got to quit believing this lie that generations of young people and young adults don't want God in their life. That is a lie from the devil. Amen. Come on. They want the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. They want to live right. They want to do right. They want to walk in his favor. And we need to just take that message to the world. I want you to stand with me all over this house. I'm giving time for an altar call. I've preached for 30 minutes. Hear me. Nothing can be added to or taken away from the accomplishments of the cross. And that's where religion messes up. We keep trying to add stuff to the cross when it's just Jesus. The cross allowed a new relationship to be established between man and God. The great Creator became our Savior and Redeemer. So, Pastor, what does that mean to me? What does that mean to me? How do I apply the message of resurrection to my life on a personal level? I'm glad you asked. First of all, you apply the power of the resurrection to your life. If you've not already done so, if you don't consider yourself a believer or a Christian, the first thing you got to do, you need to accept Christ into your heart, repent of your sins, and allow him to take up residence as Lord of your life. I need a little help in the house right now. Come on. You got to take that first step. Take that first step to say, you know what? I'm tired of sin beating me down. And I'm tired of thinking about where my life is going to be beyond the grave. And sometimes we need to think more with an eternal focus than what we do anyway. There is an eternity. That's the first step for some of you. And I'm going to invite you in just a few moments to come to this altar and take that first step. There's others of you in this house that maybe you're ready to identify with his death and his burial through the sacrament of baptism. And we had somebody baptized in the first service. We got some more people being baptized today in this service. Amen. Come on. Come on. We're all the way into April, and there's only been one Sunday where somebody's not been baptized. To God be the glory. But hear me, if that's the next step, if you've never been baptized in water, if you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, I would encourage you, to my left and your right, you can go to that room and somebody will meet you. And don't wait. Be baptized. But some of you, and this is the majority of the people that are in this room right now and the people that are watching online, maybe you're a believer already, but you need to start walking in the authority and the power of the risen Christ in your life. Come on, there are too many defeated Christians. We are forgetting about the power of Christ that is in us, the power of God that is in us. We're forgetting about the power over sin that is resident in our lives. Come on, again, I already told you he's not seeking perfection, but I believe he does expect effort. And we do that by submitting ourselves to the Lord and being willing, the Bible says, to take up our cross and follow him. Amen. So today I want to invite you, some of you believers, to step out boldly and proclaim, I am victorious in Christ. I am an overcomer. My marriage will be blessed. my children will be saved. This addiction that keeps creeping up in my life will be conquered. Come on, somebody. Are you saying there's Christians that are addicted? Absolutely. There's a lot of Christians struggling with a lot of stuff. Guess what? That's not the will of God for your life. You need to step out and say, God, I'm ready for whatever you have next in my life. I'm ready to break the stronghold of alcoholism or drug abuse or pornography in my life. You can have that as a believer because you are risen with Christ. You are risen with Christ. And as they begin to sing, I invite you to step out from where you are and come with authority and say, God, I'm ready to walk in that resurrection power that you've given me. I'm ready to walk in that, God.
I praise in the valley. I praise on the mountain.
Come on, I'm ready for that in my life.
I'll praise when I'm sure.
And if you're not a believer yet, I want to encourage you to come out from where you are right now. God, I'm ready to take that next step. I'm ready to take that next step. I'm ready.
Victoria, upon the profession of your faith and obedience to the Lord, I now baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. The profession of your faith and obedience to Jesus, I now baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You all know Pastor Chuck. He's going to baptize his daughter.
Olivia, first of all, I want you to know how proud we are of you and that I pray that God continues to use you to raise your life. Never lose the passion that you have for those that are broken. And Olivia, if you accepted Jesus as your Savior. Father, I thank
Woo-hoo!
Stella, upon the profession of your faith and obedience to the Lord, I now baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins.
Lord, good.
Hey, thanks for watching. Be sure to subscribe to this channel so you never miss one of our videos or live streams in the future. Also, take a moment and share this with a friend. Be sure to join us 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. each week live as we celebrate Jesus together here at Life Church. God bless you.